I let people know my like automated emails, you know, like of my personal life that I'm a mom and these are my office hours and I may not get back to you right now because I'm covered in dirt on the softball field. Like there is so many things that I personalize to make it sound like I'm sitting there writing that email right now, but I'm not. And so when you're receiving ones and you're feeling like it's not personalized, it feels like ChatGPT wrote it. That is because a person didn't take the time to personalize it and make it sound like their brand voice. So as long as you do that, you're not going to have anyone that's going to be like, like there's a robot sending this. They're going to feel like it's still you.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wisdom and Tangents podcast. Today is episode 207. It's a good number. I like it. We're talking about all the systems. We're talking about mistakes that you're probably making in your systems. It's going to be a good one. I want to talk about this week for a little bit, a little catch up. I just got back from the Hybrid Collective in Dripping Springs, Texas, which is only like, you know, 2.5-3 hours from here, which was kind of nice. I got to drive this time and had a great time. Got to meet a few of you listeners in person. So if you're listening and we met at Hybrid, hey, what's up? It was good to see you. But yeah, it was really fun. Amazing time. Great speakers, great community. It was just an overall great time. That's it. I love photography conferences. Good ones. I love good photography conferences. There are some that I've been to that are just like, this was the thing. I'm okay with it. But whenever it's like great community and just people loving to be around each other and just open and hanging out and spending time to make connections and build each other up. And just like, I felt like everyone was just a cheerleader for each other the whole week. So always great. I'm very filled right now. If you can't tell by me just like overflowing into the microphone right now. But let me talk about today's episode, because this is a really great one. I really love this episode. So many things. I took so many notes listening back to this. I took even more notes. And I told Taryn at the beginning, I was like, I'm going to be like in the listener's shoes and taking notes on this. And I was 100% right. But Taryn Rochelle is my guest today. She's also got a podcast called She Can Systemize. You should check that out. I will link it in the bio. I will link it in the show notes and description so you can go check out some of her episodes after you listen to this one, of course. But yeah, she is a she's a mother. She is a keynote speaker. She's a personal brand creator. She is a podcast host, like I mentioned. And she's also one of the community and partnership leaders at Devasado. So she knows all things about systems and how to implement them and how to run them. So this is great. If you're just like, I don't even know what a system is, John, I'm here. I clicked on this because I like your show, but I don't know what systems are. You are going to know by the end of this, and you are going to have some detailed systems and operations. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and get into my conversation with Taryn Rochelle. Taryn, welcome to the podcast. I am very excited for today's episode. I just mentioned before we officially started recording that like I am going to be I am in the listener's shoes today too, where I'm just like, oh yeah, there's probably some mistakes that I'm making in my systems and operations and everything. So if you see me taking notes during this, that's what's going on. But yeah, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I am a no fluff girly, and I love to drop as much systems knowledge and just really help you guys feel really clear in your business as a whole. So like John said, like get ready to take some notes because I don't give fluff advice here. And you guys are going to get like tangible steps that you guys can take today to make your business and systems more efficient.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that. Like, that's one of the reasons that I reached out to you was just like, oh, I love your She Can Systemize podcast. And I heard you, or got to meet you and heard you talk at, the Heart University last year. And it was just like, yeah, no fluff. You were just like, this is what you need to do. And I was like, yes, this is what I need. I don't need like an hour of like this or that, or you can do this if you want to, but it's like, if you want to have a good systemized workspace, this is what you need to do. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm pumped. Before we get into a little bit more about who you are and everything, it's part of the show I like to incorporate the listeners into. So I ask them for just random questions to ask guests, and I have one for you.
Probably
should have pulled it up before. Okay, here we go. Have you ever asked someone for an autograph?
Ooh, have I ever asked someone for an autograph? I mean, we've all been to Disneyland, and when I was a kid, I had that autograph, but I think I still have it, that notebook of like every Disney character that I wanted to meet of their autographs. Nice. And that was like a big deal for me. I was obsessed with Minnie Mouse when I was younger, and I brought my suitcase to Disneyland because it was like full of Minnie Mouse. It was like covered with her. And then she took pictures like using it. And I thought I met a real life celebrity. Little did I know that that was just some random person in a costume. But then it was a big deal for me. So childhood time, yes. Now, like not so much. Like if I meet authors in real life, that's really cool for me. I'm in like a reading era, which is new for me. I'm usually not a big book girly, but I am definitely in my reading era right now. So like at the Heart Conference, we got to meet Amy Porterfield in real life. I've talked to her a lot like on social media and like the internet and stuff, but never in person. So moments like that, I love to just, you know, it's hard for me because it's like, I don't want to come off as like a fan, but I am really a fan of her and her business model. And just how she is just like amazing in all aspects and just shows up genuinely as her. So I like to do like, I didn't even actually get her to like write in my book or anything, but just actually talking to her for me is like autograph in itself to me. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah,
those moments,
it's like
really
a mental autograph.
Exactly.
It's like, that means so much more than just like, oh, look, on the inside cover of her 2 weeks notice book, I got her autograph.
Exactly. Like I just went up to her and chatted with her when she was just in the conference room area. And we just had a great conversation and just about like my mom life and just like girls chatting over coffee. And I'm like, is this real life kind of thing? So yeah, like that mental autograph, like those are kind of my jam.
Yes. Same here. I've always told myself, like, if I met like a celebrity, like a Hollywood celebrity or something, that I wouldn't be all like fangirl and run up and be like, can I have your autograph? Can you sign my face or something like that?
Sign my baby.
Just right here. Yeah. Sign the head of my baby.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would just be like, hey, I know who you are. But I don't want to make a scene because I don't want people to see you in your hoodie over here at the airport or something.
Exactly.
Still have never run into any celebrities in the airport. But you know, I don't fly out to like LAX all that often.
Yeah.
But okay. Well, that's cool. I like that. I like the whole mental autograph thing. Cause that like, it carries along with you a lot further and usually means a lot more.
Exactly. You can have more of those like intentional conversations, and it also helps like to see their human side. You know, a lot of times with celebrities or, you know, these people we look up to in the online space, we put them into like a different category instead of just like remembering there's room for like everyone at the table. And I think that's where I just like to go about things a little bit differently, is to like humanize them and like find out and talk about different things that isn't just like let me get your autograph or like write like, you know, something in my book. It's like I just wanted to have like just a normal conversation, and I'll remember that forever, and it'll be different to me than, you know, just something that I may look at in a book that I've already read kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. And I love, like, y'all even talked about like mom stuff instead of like, hey, let me pick your brain about marketing.
Yeah. It's like, no, we didn't talk about like, business at all. Like she was like, oh, didn't you move to Arizona? And I was just like, what? Yeah, I did. I know. So yeah, it was just conversations about that and just like, just casual. And that was just so great.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. Well, cool. I love that. Could you give us a little background into you? You're in Arizona. Yeah. We know that now. But a little background into what you do and all that.
Yeah, definitely. So my name is Taryn Rochelle. I am the founder of Taryn Rochelle. I just pivoted into a personal brand. So anyone that's on the fence about doing that, feel free to shoot me a DM on Instagram because I have been going through it. It was a very quick pivot. I am now the community and partnerships leader at Dubsado, which is what made me transition into this personal brand. Literally at the drop of a hat, I pivoted over, changed everything. It's a funny story. My dad is a domain, like he always loves to buy domains. He turned me into that kind of person. Like I have an idea, I buy a domain. And so like, you don't even want to see my GoDaddy account, guys. Like you will be like, what is wrong with you? And my name was taken and I was like, dang it. Like I want to change my domain and my personal brand name. And I was like, wait a second. I texted my dad and I said, you wouldn't happen to own my name, would you? And he said, yes, I do. Because I thought at some point you would want to transition into a personal brand and I wanted to keep it for when you wanted to. And so dad of the year right there. So I was able to have my domain. So if you have known me before, I was the Social Lifestyle Co. I still own that business, but I'm operating everything under Taryn Rochelle right now. I have a podcast, She Can Systemize, that John had mentioned, and we talk about systems and business and community and also just personal life systems too. I just released an episode on meal planning and things that, you know, people don't realize are a system, but they really are. Mm-hmm. And when you incorporate them into your personal life, it just gives you so much more time for other things in your business and also just to relax and sit on the couch and watch Bravo, which is something I love to do. So, yes.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned that about like some things that you don't really necessarily think of as systems because like I've seen that in my personal life, the last few weeks we've had some sicknesses with the kids and all of that. And we had a system of every Sunday we'd sit down and we would meal plan for the week. And we would know like on Tuesday, we're going to do this quick dinner because we have baseball practice and like that kind of stuff. And that just kind of got overlooked for a couple weeks and we were just scrambling and everything was off because our system was out of whack. And it's like, it's stuff like that that you don't really think of as like, this is a system. This is something that's going to keep the wheels moving smoothly. So you don't have to like every night at 5 o'clock be like, oh yeah, what are we having? What's thawed? Do we have to get something out of the freezer like 3 hours ago? Or, you know, are we going to order pizza again? Yeah. like that kind of thing. So I love that you don't just touch on like Dubsado type systems and like CRMs and emails and all of that, but just all different aspects of life as an entrepreneur.
Yeah. And I'm a fellow parent, so I have two kids, and have my husband and, you know, we just thrive in systems in our house. And when they aren't there, like you're saying, like I can tell when we're missing a system. Yes, I have a systems brain. But even my husband has come to like love how systemized things are. And when things aren't organized, he can feel it too. And the kids can feel it. And so it definitely is. And we do the same thing because we are in our sports era right now. I say era a lot and I'm not even a Swiftie, but she just like is in my brain.
She's taking over the world.
Everyone's taking over. I'm not a Swiftie, but like her as a businesswoman and stuff, like, I am a fan of Taylor Swift as a person, yes. But I don't sit around listening to her music all the time. So that's why I say I'm not a Swiftie, but I think she's incredible. I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, so there's nice. That too. But we have sports, so I coach softball. My husband coaches soccer, and so we have to, like, today we have our opening ceremony for softball, and I have to plan around dinner. So they have Chick-fil-A at the field, so my kids are having Chick-fil-A. We're having chicken later when we get home, and, like, I plan things around that because I know what's going on. And when we didn't do that, again, it was like, nothing is wrong with takeout. I love pizza nights. But it was just like repetitive. It was over and over. And then I would just, like, feel not good eating out all the time. Like, you know, your body doesn't feel great all the time. You just feel, you know, not good about spending money like that 24/7. And then we were like, okay, like, this is because we don't have this process in place. And then when we did, it just changed everything.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's crazy how just setting up one system can transform your life into, like, I didn't know how much time and energy I was using just doing this on the fly. Just something simple like meal planning, which takes us maybe 15 minutes. Cause we have, like, our go-to meals now where we're just like, oh yeah, I want to do this again. I want to make this one. It's going to be cold on Thursday, so let's do something like hearty or like a soup or something. And it's just like, we get excited, you know, for meals that are 5 days away. We all want more time in our life. I mean, think about it. It's one of the best seasonings. I can't imagine a shepherd's pie without some thyme. What was that? Oh, yeah. No, that makes more sense. Okay. We all want more time in our life. Time is finite. It's a construct. But what if I told you you could create your own time? Not exactly, but pretty close. Since I've been using Imagine AI to edit my photos, I have gotten hours and hours of time back that I would have just been sitting in front of my computer, click, click, clicking away, editing all the photos. But now I can use those hours to work on my business, to bring in more leads, or for some leisure time playing Super Mario, trying to beat that one level that I can't. It's those freaking ghosts. They get me every time. Okay, so this is how it works. With Imagine AI, you upload your photos and it reads everything and learns how you took it from the raw files to the edited images. And it will learn to edit just like you. I've already uploaded over 16,000 images, and every single catalog I get back is better than the next. If you want to get your time back and get your first 1,500 images edited for free, go to allheartphoto.com/AI. That's allheartphoto.com/AI and create more time. All right, now I'm hungry. But, like, can you talk a little bit more about, like, maybe some examples of systems? Cause I'm just thinking, like, myself, like, maybe 5 years ago, where if someone was like, yeah, the systems that you're doing, I'm like, what systems, what are systems in like a entrepreneur type business?
Yeah. So I know, like, you know, many of you who are either tuning in live or listening to this recording are, you know, coming in because, you know, we're talking about mistakes you are making when it comes to systems. And the biggest mistake I see people make is not understanding what a system actually is. Your system is not your tool that you use in your business. It's not Dubsado. It's not ClickUp. It's not Notion. It is your process. So that is, you know, I use this example because anyone that's service provider has inquiries, has leads. So your system is not Dubsado capturing those leads for you automatically. It is actually your process that you have implemented of what you want that client experience journey to look like from the minute they inquire through when they are, you know, getting on a call with you or whatever your process is. That is your system. The tool that you use is your system tool where you put that process to live. And so that is, like, the biggest mistake I see people make is just, you know, we're giving all of the, like, I work with Dubsado. I love them. And I love all the tools that I use in my business, but I don't give them all the power. That power lies within me and my process. And that's what I always tell my clients in my community is like, don't give all your power away to these tools. Yes, they are amazing. But what's actually amazing is when you create a killer system and process, then you implement that into these tools. And then yes, your systems are killer. Your process, your client experience is amazing because you have taken time to develop that and have the right mindset around what actually a system is. So that is something where, like, before we even talk about, like, you know, all these amazing systems, is I'm not going to sit here and talk about, you know, Dubsado and Notion and all these things. Yeah, I may touch on them right. A little bit, but we're talking about your actual process.
Yeah, I think that's a really great distinction between, like, the tools that you use in your system and your actual system, because that is something that, like I got, I remember the year that I got a CRM, which was way too late in my career. Should have done it like from the beginning. Once someone was like, you should get a CRM. But I waited like 7 years. It was crazy. Not great. But I remember like that year and how that changed, and like a lot of stuff changed because it kind of came with some more organization. And like the systems that I had before were like written paper contracts and like mailing them to people and them signing and mailing back, which was an insane way of doing that in like 2017. But like that whole thing, like I thought of like the tool itself was, oh, this is my system now. I can use this as it's going to do the stuff for me. I don't have to think about it. So I love that you have that distinction between the tools and then the actual systems themselves.
Yeah, a lot of people, they pay for a tool or they sign up for a free trial or do anything, and then they're like, cool, I'm done. Like, I did it. Like, gold star, pat on the back. Yes, gold star for looking into a CRM, but that CRM is not going to set itself up. It doesn't know your clients like you do. It does not know your business, your brand, what you want that experience to look like until you do the work and you get your hands dirty and you create a process, even if you hire out. So before this year, I offered system builds and I worked in Dubsado, ClickUp, Trello, Slack, tons of Zapier automations. And I would have to pull that process out of my clients. That was part of their pre-work, was to write out their ideal client journey for me from the time someone inquires all the way through when they are sending a raving testimonial. And for some people, they may hear that and be like, wasn't that your job to do that? No, I don't know your business like you do. My job is to take that ideal client journey and elevate it and put it into a CRM and make it automated. Our goal as a company was always 80% of your system was automated. And we never had clients fall below that. But in order for that to happen, we need to pull that process out of you. And when clients did that, they had so many light bulb and aha moments of, wow, like I have a lot of gaps in my journey right now. This is my ideal client journey. So this is what I want to happen. But is this actually happening right now? No. Am I sitting here at 1 a.m. getting a ding notification that someone inquired and I'm going and sending an email back to them? Because if I don't right now, they'll go to someone else. Yeah, a lot of people do that still. Maybe some of you listening right now. But there are ways to automate that experience and still have it be personalized. And that's where someone that handles your systems can make that happen. But you have to be the one to figure out what you want that system to look like. Because at the end of the day, it's your business. It's not my business. It's your business. And that's where a lot of people, I think, go wrong when it comes to outsourcing systems help, is thinking that, well, they're just going to do this for me and I'm never going to have to touch it again.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's great that like that standard of 80% or more being automated, because I get a lot of pushback from from coaching students of just like, well, I don't want it to sound like a canned email, or I don't want this automation to not feel genuine because I want to be, you know, hashtag authentic and like show up as myself and all of that. And like, I love that you just mentioned, like, you can still have your voice in these automations. And I don't remember who it was that said it, but it just made sense to me of just like, when you are your like most personable self, when you're ready to like write all these email templates and everything, that's like your best version of you. And then sometimes, you know, you might have an off day or just like a rough morning where you, no amount of coffee is helping you wake up. And instead of having to write an email where you're not in the right headspace, you're just like, you already have this template that's already automated from the person that was like on it, you know, months ago, whenever you put this together, instead of you just being like, I don't know, here's my prices. If you want,
here you go. Yeah. And like, think about it. Like, for any of you who have that mindset block right now, and it is a block that we need to get rid of. How many of you have received emails that you know are automated? Like, I'm sorry, if you're inquiring on my services at 2 a.m., I'm not up there writing an email back. Those are automated. But how many of you guys are sitting there getting emails, you know, sales emails, once you get into someone's email marketing campaign, those are definitely automated. They are not sending those out, sitting there and typing them out and sending them. Some people might, but again, majority of people do not. Are you sitting there and like, this is not authentic. Hashtag authentic is not here. Like, are you sitting there thinking that? Probably not. You're just wanting to get the information that you inquired on. You're just wanting to like figure out, you know, if this offer is right for me. Like, you are just wanting that information. That's what you care about. Like, that's what you're wanting as the person receiving these things. So it's just making sure that we have, you know, that mindset of we are receiving these and we don't feel that way. When we feel that way is when that person does not take the time to personalize it. And that's on them. And that's not what you have to do. I am a GIF or JIF, however you like to say it, fanatic. And every single one of my emails are going to have those. It's going to have my brand voice. I let people know my like automated emails, you know, like of my personal life, that I'm a mom and these are my office hours. And I may not get back to you right now because I'm covered in dirt on the softball field. Like, there is so many things that I personalize to make it sound like I'm sitting there writing that email right now, but I'm not. And so when you're receiving ones and you're feeling like it's not personalized, it feels like ChatGPT wrote it. That is because a person didn't take the time to personalize it and make it sound like their brand voice. So as long as you do that, you're not going to have anyone that's going to be like, like there's a robot sending this. They're going to feel like it's still you.
And that's such a great mindset to have. Cause like, you know, we talked about Amy Porterfield earlier. I get so many emails from her cause I've probably joined in so many different funnels that she has from like free stuff and webinars and stuff that I've taken from her. And I have never opened an email from Amy being like, oh, well, this is, she probably didn't send this right now. That wasn't her. I'm like, obviously it's not her. Like, we don't think about, you know, she's running an 8-figure business. Of course, she's not sitting there at 2 p.m. sending out every individual email. I'm like, it makes sense that she wouldn't. And we have to get in that mindset of like, it would make more sense that you shouldn't be doing that too. And that, you know, as long as, like you said, it's in your voice and you are giving them the information that they want, then they'll be happy.
Exactly. Yeah. As long as you're just giving the people what they want and listening to your community and putting out things that they are needing and wanting, and it makes sense for your business, it makes sense for your brand voice. That's all that people want. And that is going to show you as your authentic self. Just like you said earlier, there are times when you're just not in that right mindset to be doing things. You need to take a personal day. You need to not be responding to emails. But we still want those emails to go out. We still want our business to run. I take all of June off of my business because I have 3 birthdays in my family, mine, most important, just kidding. my daughter, who's 2 days after me, tried to steal my thunder, and then my husband as well. So we all have birthdays in June. So that is a busy month. And I used to just try and keep working, keep trucking through it. And I could not show up for my community. I could not show up for my clients, but I was trying to. And so I take all of June off now. My business still runs, things still happen, but it's all automated. Same thing in December. I like to spend the holidays with my family and be present. My kids are out of school. I don't want to be trying to get on calls while they're excited to make Christmas cookies. Like, right. I want to be doing those things and enjoying those moments with them while they are here in my house. And so I take that month off as well. But again, my business is still running. It's still thriving. People are still getting responses from me. And I also let my community know about these things. I let them know that I'm going to be out of office. And so they are prepared. I batch create content. Right now I'm batching every single one of my podcast episodes that are going to be airing during the summertime when my kids are home, because I do not want to be recording when they are again wanting to play outside, wanting to go to the pool. I want to be at the pool, not recording a podcast episode. So I batch those things and then schedule them out to go out. So again, it's just making sure that you're prepared and thinking about your life and business as a whole and not separating the two.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, it's so great when you use systems in your business and automations to where you can take that break and your business doesn't shut down. Cause it's not like a brick and mortar where you're like, you know, flipping the open sign and like, you have to be there to unlock the door so that people can come in. It's like, you have those automations, which are kind of like employees who can do these things for you. And then you can go chill in the pool in the summer. It is already getting hot here in Texas. And I'm like, I am waiting for this pool to open up so that, you know, we get my 5-year-old, she asks almost daily of just like, when is the pool open? I'm like, it doesn't open till Memorial Day weekend. I know that is a long time away and it gets hot here before then, but you know, we've got some time. And yeah, like I'm excited about my business continuing on because of the systems and automations that I have while I am enjoying life and you know, just checking in here and there. So what's another mistake that we might be making in our systems?
I would definitely say another mistake that a lot of people make is that they think that they don't need these systems, or especially SOPs, which are standard operating procedures, until they have a team. So at the time of recording this, I do not have a team at all. I outsource certain things, but I do not have an assistant, anything like that. I have a girl that just of like this year is editing my podcast for me and scheduling it out. Before that, I was doing it all myself. But I always say, like you said, they can be your employees. I have thousands of employees of automations that help run my business. But I am a solopreneur. I never plan on having a ginormous team. For me, my magic number is 3. I have set that, and that's like my intention of my team. That's as big of a team as I want to have. But if you are planning on having a team at any point, or even if you are planning on just staying a solopreneur, have systems and especially SOPs in your business from the beginning. And from the beginning, if you're listening to this, you're like, well, Taryn, I'm now 5 years in. I can't go back in time. Start today and document your first SOP. So for anyone that's like, what's an SOP? It is literally your process from the beginning to the end. So we pretty much all use Instagram. So I usually like to use this as an example. Posting on Instagram. I know there's a bunch of different ways you can post. Let's just do a carousel because those are my favorite types of content. So if you are creating a carousel post, what is going to be the process from the very beginning, which is usually the idea, all the way to when it's living on your feed, is the end result. What are all those steps in between? So creating the graphic, putting the copy in, putting hashtags in, like everything that happens to make that carousel go live on your feed, that is going to be your SOP. The reason why these are important is you may not think that you're ever going to have a team, but I bet at some point you will have someone that maybe handles some tasks in your business, whether it's a VA, a social media manager, anything. And even if you don't, it's important to have these so then you can make sure that you aren't missing any steps in your process. You're not going through after the Instagram post is live and being like, oh my gosh, I forgot my hashtags and now it's too late for me to add the hashtags for them to even work for the posts and show up for it and have my post show up under those hashtags. If you followed your SOP, you would know that's a step in your process before it lives on your feed. So when we document these things, it helps us stay efficient. But then if you get to that point of wanting to hire out, you can give these to them to follow instead of having to record Loom videos every single time someone has a question. My rule of thumb is anytime I get a question from someone more than twice, it becomes an SOP. So kind of create like whatever your rule of thumb is if you have team members to be like, this is going to be when I need to create an SOP for this is when I'm getting this question too repetitively, which means that they're having these questions because there is not a guide to follow. And so that is like a huge mistake I see a lot of people make. I will go in and I will be like, okay, where are your SOPs? Where do they live? If I was setting up their project management tool and they're like, what SOPs or what does that mean? And then it's not a big deal. I'm not like, oh, shame on you. Because a lot of people don't have those. A lot of people don't think they're necessary. They think, okay, when I'm a big corporation, that's when I need to have SOPs. No, from the beginning of your business, like the very beginning, I started documenting everything. My new role in Dubsado, from the day I started, I document every single thing I'm doing because I do not plan to always be the one doing these things. There could be someone that could do these smaller tasks for me. So I need to have them documented so they're still done in the way that I would do them. So it's just making sure that you are documenting things so you can stay on track. But then again, if you want to outsource, they're going to be set up for success and you're not going to feel like you're not getting a return on your investment.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't know how many times I have referenced my SOPs because I'm just like scatterbrained that day, or I'm just like, maybe I haven't done it in a while and I'm just like, oh yeah, how do I do this? And like going back through that whole, you know, system of like, you do this and then you do this next has really helped me on the days where I am not feeling like 100% or it's been a little bit. Like I remember one time I came back from an engagement session and I just I just threw my camera bag down and went like switched over to family mode and just I was like, you know what, I want to go watch the show or whatever it was. I just went into that and didn't go through my whole process of take out the memory cards, back them up in two different places on my computer and hard drive, you know, file those cards in, you know, little film canisters so I know like this stays here until these photos are delivered, and like going through all of my steps. And then I had a photo shoot the next day, just grabbed my bag and went, and I formatted that card because that was the beginning of my system is, yeah, format the cards that are in there because they've already been backed up. But I didn't go through my whole process. And yeah, if I had had that sort of like SOP of, you know, once you get home, go do this instead of just trying to remember, that would have saved me and it would have saved those photos and, you know, would have made the couple a lot happier and less stressed than having to reschedule another engagement shoot and all of that. So yeah, that is so helpful to have those. Cause yeah, I mean, you mentioned this, like that kind of pushback of like, well, I'm not going to hire a team. It's just me. I'm a solopreneur. What do I need it for? Like, you do, because there are some days where you might need that, or some days where you might eventually bring on someone, like you said, that's even just like, all I need you to do is just like the lead nurturing process of just like those touch points. You work with the new people coming in, and then you can schedule meetings with me, and like that whole thing. You know, once usually whenever you're bringing someone in to work with you, even like a VA or something like that, a virtual assistant, you're overwhelmed and you're needing help. So once you're overwhelmed and you don't have that time to actually write out your SOPs, then they're coming in and you're having to spend extra time on like training them and figuring out all of that. So yeah, huge, huge thing to take away, listeners. So yes, work on those SOPs in your business.
Yeah. And like two things that you touched on, like you coming home that day and you just feeling like, you know, you need to like decompress or be with the kids and all that kind of stuff. Like these SOPs allow you to do things more quickly. So then you're mm-hmm. still able to do those things. And it doesn't feel like a daunting task, because a really great thing to do when you are creating your SOPs is to timestamp yourself of how long these actually take you. Because when we're in those moments of we're tired, you know, we just want to relax and not do it, we may think, oh my gosh, it's going to take hours. I just don't have the mental capacity for this. But when you actually like take the time to document these and you put in how long these tasks actually take you, you may be like, wow, this actually doesn't take me that long. Or why is this taking me so long? And are there yeah. steps of this that I can automate or eliminate that aren't necessary? And so it's easier to go in and be like, okay, John, like talking to yourself, this only takes 15 minutes. I do this, it's done. And then I have the rest of the day to do whatever I need to do or want to do, mm-hmm. as opposed to just coming in and being tired and just like, this is just something I have to do. I don't want to do it right now. It just allows you to like free up that mental capacity and like worrying that this is going to take you so long when it may not. And then the, you know, giving things to someone of like an assistant or something like that, and you are, you know, bringing them into chaos, because like you said, normally that's the state you're in when you're wanting to bring in some help, is you're a little overwhelmed. Yeah. I see this many times with either my clients or friends in the online space where they're like, gosh, like I hired the wrong person. They don't know what to do. What a waste of my money. That person could have been the ideal person for your business, but you set them up to fail. You set them up to not succeed. And then in return, you feel like you wasted your money. They feel like, oh, like I'm doing a bad job. And then that's just not setting your business up for success. That's not setting them up for success, who's probably also running their own business, unless you're bringing them in as a full-time employee with you. They have other clients. They have other things to do. And they're not going to feel great. So it's going to go both ways. And when we don't set them up for success, then both parties are going to fail. And I hate so much seeing that, of putting all of the blame on the person you're hiring, where yes, mm-hmm. there are cases where you may have hired the wrong person. But that again could go into, do you have a streamlined process of your hiring to hire the right person? So when you set them up to succeed by giving them these SOPs and also asking them to document their process as they are working with you, you're going to feel so much better and you're not going to feel like you hired the wrong person. Again, I'm a solopreneur right now, but every single SOP I have has a space in there to put what team member, because I have my dream team outline of those three people, who would be responsible for this SOP. So mm-hmm. I don't have that person right now. I don't have an assistant. I don't have a social media manager. I don't have these people. But I put in my SOP as if that person exists, who would be responsible for this. So then when I do hire, they have every SOP that falls under their business. And also going into your process for hiring, that's actually how I build out my job descriptions. So I look at all the SOPs that fall underneath that role, and that helps me be very intentional on who I hire, because I have had assistants at certain seasons of my business that I've needed, but right now I don't have one. But when they came in, they have those documented SOPs of exactly the, mm-hmm. what they need to do. And it helped me build that job description to bring in the right person.
Yeah. Oh, that is so helpful. 'Cause like, yeah, you don't want to have all these different SOPs. And then once you're hiring someone, you're like, okay, which ones do I give to you? Which ones do I keep?
And that's like, where like having scope creep comes in too, of like being like, oh, handle all of this, when it's not their job to handle that, you know, they're coming in as a assistant for something else and you're having them, you know, do your meal planning. That has nothing to do with their job description. That's your SOP, unless they're coming in to help you do that. So it just really helps with scope creep of them not feeling like, okay, this is outside of what I'm getting paid to do. And then they're feeling like it's not a good return on investment of their time because they're not making enough money for what you're having them do.
Oh yeah. Think about like the corporate jobs that you may have had where it's just like, this wasn't my job title. Like this was not in my job description and you're asking me to do these extra things, but I'm not getting any extra pay. Like you don't want to do that to someone that you're bringing in.
Yeah.
And you know, when you were talking about like, hiring well and having those SOPs for like an assistant or a social media manager, or whomever's joining your team. And then just being like, oh no, I hired the wrong person because they didn't do it right or efficiently. If they don't have those, if you don't have those SOPs to give them, I like, I don't know if it's just dad brain or whatever. But like, I pictured like hiring someone to go grocery shopping for you, but it's at a grocery store that's they're not familiar with. They're like, I know what to do. I know, like, I have the list of things that I need to pick up, but like in my grocery store that I go to often, like dairy is over here and then produce is over here. And this one, like you're walking into a new store and you're like, okay, I know everything is here that I need to get, but I don't exactly know where it is. So I'm going to have to figure it out a little bit. It's going to take a little bit longer. And maybe I'm going to miss something because I didn't know that this was at an end cap over by the cereal and like that kind of stuff. Instead, like with that SOP, you're giving them a map of the store and just being like, yeah, if you start over on the right hand side, you're going to be in the produce. Go ahead and get these. And then, you know, weave through over here, and then that'll be a lot more efficient for them and they will be a better employee, you know, being able to work faster and to do more, and they're going to feel better about working for you because they're going to be like, oh yeah, I was very productive today. I did all of these things and I feel good about it. So
yeah. I love that.
That just like popped in my mind.
It's funny. I love that analogy. And then right when you were saying that, I love Christmas with the Cranks. Like that is our go-to like holiday movie to watch. And I always, my husband like says I'm like her all the time. Like when he gets back in the car and he's like, they didn't have the white chocolate. She's like, well, did you ask the butcher? And he's like, no, I didn't think to ask the butcher where the chocolate is. But it's like, that's her process. Like that's her system of grocery shopping because she's usually the one that does it, but it was raining. So she sent someone else and delegated it to go and do it, but then didn't tell them where to look for it. So that is funny that that analogy popped in your head and then triggered me to be laughing internally of like my favorite movie.
Oh man, that's awesome. Okay. Yeah. And like, it just goes to show like how many systems you have in your day-to-day life that you just don't really know, or don't recognize that you have. This has been great, Taryn. I've loved all of this. Like I am definitely going to be listening back to this episode and like implementing stuff in my business. Are there any last words you want to share with the listeners, before we kind of, wrap this up?
Yeah, I would just say to, you know, really take some time to write out things that are just causing a lot of like troubles in your business. Like, where are you feeling the most drain that's happening? You know, are you looking at your CRM and there are 60 leads in there? And that's amazing, but it's overwhelming. I've had clients that come to me, especially I used to work with the wedding and event industry. So they were getting a ton of inquiries all the time. And that instead of feeling amazing about that, it was daunting. They were just overwhelmed and they would tell me, I just don't like going to my CRM because I have all these leads to respond to. And I'm not at a point to hire out help of having like an assistant do this. Because if you're using a CRM, especially like Dubsado or one that can automate, you don't need an assistant to do those things. And I'm not saying that, you know, VAs or tech VAs aren't important, but let's again set them up for success and make sure that they're doing tasks that shouldn't or can't be automated. So then they are doing things that are actually income producing activities where all of that can be automated and you're already paying for the tool. So why not use it? So look at, you know, what's going on in your business and also your personal life of where you're feeling overwhelmed. So we've talked about meal planning a lot, but this has been a very hot topic in my community is like people have loved me chatting about my meal planning process because that was a very daunting time for me. 5 o'clock, I have 2 little kids who have already been asking me for snacks all day. And all day, I mean the 2 hours they've been home from school, that's felt like all day.
Immediately walking through the door.
Immediately walking. I'm like, yeah, like, did you not eat all day? Like, are they not feeding you? And so I'm like, that time would hit and I was just like overwhelmed, like frustrated. Me and my husband would fight. I'm upset with the kids. Like, I'm the cook of the family. I love to cook, but then I was hating it because I was the one to do it. I'm like, to my husband, like, why can't you just learn how to cook? Like, figure this out when I don't want him to cook. Like, I just enjoy it. But I wasn't enjoying it anymore. So look at those things that you normally would enjoy, but maybe aren't right now and figure out why that is. And for me, it was because I didn't have a process for it. I wasn't meal planning. I wasn't looking at our daily schedule of we're at the softball field this week 4 times in the week. Like, that is a lot. And am I planning accordingly? Or am I planning these like extravagant dinners on a day where we're gone at 4:30 and don't get home till 7 o'clock at night? Like, that was where I was getting overwhelmed. So it's to take an audit of your business and your personal life and see where are areas that are causing me stress and overwhelm? And do I have a system for it? And if the answer is no, look at what is the one that is giving you the most stress or strain and start there. A lot of people look at this huge laundry list of a million items that they don't have systems for. And then they're like, well, now I have a lot to do and now I'm even more overwhelmed. Let's just pick the, you know, the biggest one because you're going to feel the biggest return on investment of your time getting that organized, setting up that inquiry process, setting up that meal planning process. So then you have more of a mental capacity to one, relax and also handle the rest that's on your to-do list. So just make that list and start figuring it out and then outsource where you can and find some systems experts that can help you along the way. So you feel good. And especially if it's not your zone of genius to tackle.
Yeah. Oh, I love all of that. Especially like, you know, like just taking those baby steps. Like it can be really daunting just looking at everything and being like, oh man, I need help here and I need to do this. It's like, what's one that you can work on today? Get that lined up and then go tackle the next one instead of, you know, that whole like analysis paralysis. It happens to me all the time of just like, I am overwhelmed. I'm going to do nothing.
Yeah. And then I'm going to curl up in the fetal position and just cry.
Just hope that everything irons itself out whenever I wake up. It's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, like just take those steps to do that one thing, you know, even if it's meal planning. Like if you're listening and you're just like, yeah, I have no idea. I'm always just like, oh yeah, we were supposed to take the chicken out of the freezer yesterday, so it would be ready for dinner tonight. I guess, I don't know, sandwiches.
figure it out yourself.
Everyone, we're having chips for dinner.
Yeah.
My kids would
love that. Yeah. They would thrive.
Oh yeah. If we could just have goldfish and Doritos every day, that would be amazing. So
those are staples in my house.
My kids would be so happy.
Yeah.
But no, Taryn, I love that. That is so great. Before we get into like where people can find you and listen to your podcast and all of that, there's part of the show that I like to do where we talk about what we're loving this week. And it could be like a new book. You said you're in your book era right now. I'm interested in what you're reading. Because I'm also in a little bit of a book era too. And it could be literally anything. What are you loving this week?
Yeah, so I will just share some of my books since I mentioned that. So right now, I'm in the process of doing 75 medium. So if you've heard 75 hard, I'm doing a medium version.
Love
because
it.
I am all about just like being real with yourself and true with yourself. So I had two major surgeries over the holiday in the fall time of 2023. And so I haven't worked out since like last spring. So about a year ago. Yeah. So for me to go from not working out to two workouts a day, like probably not realistic, and I'm not going to stick with it. So I've, you know, adjusted it. That's why I'm saying it's a medium, like where I'm like walking every day and things like that, throwing in some workouts, but I am reading a chapter every single day. I am committing to that. I have been really loving reading this year. And so right now I'm reading How Are You Really by Jenna Kutcher. I've had this book for a really long time and I've really been wanting to read it. Oh my gosh. I swear. I'm like, every time I read it, I'm like, is Jenna like behind my shoulder? Cause like everything is so relatable to me. And I'm just like, what is like, I just need to hear what she's saying, or like it's tying into something I'm hearing from my community. So if you follow me on Instagram, you've probably been seeing I've been like pulling clips of a book that I've been like putting all my stories every day. That's the book that I'm reading right now that I'm pulling those from. But a book that really impacted me, and I read it in one day. So the chapter a day turned into the whole book in one day because I couldn't put it down.
Book a day.
Yeah, book a day was Who Not How by Dan Sullivan. Or it's actually technically like written by someone else, but it's his process, which is ties into the book, which is about how you don't always have to be the one to do something to make an impact. And how it's like a little bit about outsourcing, but also just like so many different things, just that concept of like, you know, if you want to get something done, it doesn't always need to be, how am I going to do this? Something it could be like, who can do this, or, you know, those kinds of things. So it just like, it's an incredible book. Again, I couldn't put it down. I read it in an entire day.
That sounds really good. I need to get that one.
It's
say the
one.
Title again.
Who not how? Yes.
Okay.
And I think it is like, it says Dan Sullivan, but when you read it, you'll hear at the beginning, it's like written by someone else and stuff like that. But, I also got his other book. It's like 10X or just better than 2X, something like that. The 2X better than 10X or something. But I got that one to read next. So, that's on my docket after Jenna Kutcher's is done.
Nice. Yeah. I really loved Jenna's book. I've been a follower of hers since like she started her podcast in like 2016 or 17. And I felt the same way reading through that book. I was just like, this is exactly right. This is exactly what like I need and how I'm feeling. And it's a really
great, especially like as a business owner to like ask yourself, like, how are you really? Like, you know, we can put on this facade, especially on social media, of like everything's perfect and sunshines and rainbows. And I am one to definitely like, I like to share my scars, like versus like my open wounds or whatever they say, of like sharing the experience of what happened, instead of just like, I like to show up authentically on social media, but I like it too. If there's something going on, I want to be able to share what it is and how I'm overcoming it and things like that. To, you know, help relate to people and help people feel like they're not alone in those situations. But that book really like helps you figure out that you maybe not, you might not be okay right now in some aspect that you're just neglecting or not actually thinking about. And there are so many things, you know, I have so much on my plate right now, and I have to check myself and be like, how am I doing right now? Like, am I being a little short with my family? Like, are there things that I'm a little overwhelmed with work that don't need to be on my plate? That's why I outsourced podcast editing, because I was at a point in my business where I could do that and I needed to do it, because there was no way I could make the impact that I want to make with my podcast this year with me still editing and putting that stuff out there. So I have to really check myself and be like, how am I actually doing? And if the answer is I'm not okay right now, then I need to figure out how to make myself okay. And even if that means just taking a break, And just relaxing for that day. I've really tried to implement that in my work schedule of having times to just decompress and watch some Bravo and not have to worry about work.
Yeah. Yeah. And not feel guilty about it too.
Yeah.
Because that was a big thing for me, was like, I wanted that time to just like sit and watch a show.
Yeah.
But I would feel guilty of like, oh, but I should be doing this.
Or, yeah. Like, oh my gosh, what could like my year look like if I didn't take that one day of sitting down? Like,
right. Yeah. Or like, you know, there's dishes in the sink. I'm like, I should probably do that before I sit down. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they're going to be there. It's fine. Yeah. Like, you watch your show and then go do the dishes.
Exactly.
And you know what? They're okay. They don't.
Yeah. The dishes will be fine.
Yeah.
They won't walk off as much as we wish they would.
Yes. Yes, please. Awesome. Okay, cool. I love that. Let's see. This week I am loving, I'm loving the Daily Show. The like comedy news satire, whatever, with, you know, it used to have Trevor Noah as the host, and then he's stepped down, retired, and Jon Stewart is back, like only on Mondays, but it's really fun because I remember in high school watching The Daily Show with Jon Stewart and just like that kind of nostalgia feeling, having him back behind the desk and doing his whole thing. I'm just like, I'm really liking this. It's great. And it's only been like, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks right now, but I like that. It's fun.
Love that. Yeah. That like nostalgic. I'm feeling that way with my kids, 'cause they're at that like cartoon age. So I'm trying to get them to watch like old movies or cartoons that I used to watch. And I'm just like, I'm loving this probably more than you guys right now. I keep trying to get them on like Recess and like all of those shows that I used to watch. Yeah. 'Cause I'm like, these are so good. Like, you guys just, I know they're not as like beautiful, like graphics as your new shows are, but they're funny.
Yeah, they don't have like superpowers like, you know, the Paw Patrol, Mighty Pups and stuff.
Oh my gosh, I can't with the Paw Patrol right now in my house.
It's all over the place. Our 3-year-old, we're doing like a half birthday for her because things were crazy in October. So in April, we're throwing a half birthday for her and then a 6th birthday for our middle daughter. And they were like, we want a Paw Patrol Princess Mermaid birthday. And I was like, okay. We'll figure out something. Yeah. But yeah, they're obsessed with Paw Patrol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Taryn, where can people find you? Where can they follow along? Social media, listen to your podcast, all those things.
Yeah, definitely. So on social media, I am the Taryn Rochelle. Taryn Rochelle was taken. So I'm the Taryn Rochelle. And then my podcast is She Can Systemize. We are always looking for guests. So I'll make sure that you guys have the link to submit if you would like to be a guest on the show. And you can connect with us at Dubsado as well. This is our first year. So we're recording this in 2024 of being at In Real Life events. And we are so excited. We have not announced some incredible events that we are going to be at yet, but be on the lookout. Awesome. And we're always looking at more events to be at. So if you have some conferences that you need speakers at, sponsors, definitely reach out to us. We would love to be there, and you'll get to hang out with me in real life. So I love those moments.
Sweet. Awesome. That's very cool. Well, I'm going to be looking forward to those announcements and everything.
Yeah. And a lot of them are in Texas, so you're going to be happy about that.
Good to know. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, very cool. Yeah. I'll have links to all that in the show notes. And, Taryn, thanks so much for being on the show. I really enjoyed getting to chat with you.
Yeah. It's good to see you again. And hopefully I'll see you in Texas soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Wisdom in the Tangents podcast. As always, you can check out all the things in the show notes, in our description, and also at podcast.allheartphoto.com. Got a lot of free resources for you there. You can just check out the resources page and download all of those for free. They're really great. I use them all the time. I created them and then I was like, you know what? This is actually really helpful. I'm going to use this. So we got templates, we've got like caption guides, we've got all sorts of things. But yeah, go check out those and subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode. Next week is going to be another solo episode, which, to be honest, I don't know which one I want to do yet. I think I'm going to be recording this in the next few days, so I might do a little poll on Instagram and see what topic y'all want me to talk about. Because my solo shows, I normally record the week of anyway. But yeah, so go follow on Instagram. We're at wit.pod, WITT.POD. You can follow us on TikTok. We've got a TikTok now. Haven't posted anything on there yet, but it's coming. That's also wit.pod. And then you can follow me everywhere at All Heart Photo. I'm gonna go. You have a great week, and I'll see you back in here next week. Bye, y'all.